For many of us at this time, we would be saying, oh, the old story of the Good Samaritan. Here we go again. What hasn't been said about the story of the Good Samaritan? So from my point, it is always a little bit of a challenge to find a new angle, to find that something that's a little bit different. Also, to hopefully leave you with a little bit of an insight into the teaching and the preaching of Jesus and how we can apply that to our life. So the bottom line is, you've heard the reading and the readings. Do you understand them? And what are you going to do with them? Understanding is one thing, but we don't get any life until we start to do. And that's really the whole backbone of the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. And the characters that Luke uses highlight that understanding and then doing or not doing. Now, when we look at the Good Samaritan, I explained last week really a little bit about who the Samaritans were, that they were, in my words, almost half Jewish, because in 732 and 721, the Assyrians invaded and took away the Jewish population from the north and then brought in their own people. The remaining Jews married the Assyrians, who were pagans, and so they then adopted their culture as well. So they were always seen as the Jews from Jerusalem. The Samaritans were always seen as almost half-caste. And to use the word hate is probably a little soft. The Jews really did hate the Samaritans. They saw them as betraying everything. So when Luke and when Jesus uses the word Samaritan, he's really drawing attention or putting a spotlight on to those that are not just ostracised, but those that are hated. And today we have a few characters in a story. It's not a historical fact, it's a story. We've got to look behind the story and see what we apply in our life. And so you've got a lawyer, very clever man, trying to trap Jesus with his questions. So then I jump forward and I look at what are the questions, because questions can either be answered correctly or incorrectly, or they can be half answered or not answered at all. Questions can lead us into very personal insight. That's what we do when we go into a personal reflection. We ask questions. That's what the church has been doing all this week in Australia with the Fifth Plenary Council. We have been asking questions and hearing what the Spirit is guiding us into. So asking is one thing, doing or listening is another. It comes back to understanding. So Jesus uses a lawyer. There's a lawyer here today. So the law was such a big part of the Jewish life. It dictated everything everybody did. And then you had a Levite. Levites were the ones who prepared the sacrifices in the synagogue, so they knew all of the ritual. You have a priest in there, so he was the one that would offer the sacrifice that had been prepared by the Levite. What does the Levite need to prepare the sacrifice? He needs water and wine. Start to draw a few threads here, and you'll see why Jesus is so clever in his teaching. So he's asked a question from a man to try to trap him. Jesus gives him a question back. The lawyer says, how do I gain eternal life? Jesus answers by saying, what is in Scripture? So how do I, and what is in Scripture? So we can ask ourselves that. What have I heard? And then he says to him, not only what is in Scripture, he says, what have you read? So reading is one thing, but then doing it is another. I keep coming back to that, and that highlights the whole parable. So this lawyer knew his Scripture, but did he just see the letter of the law, or did he see the spirit of the law? Because they were bound up, the Jewish people, by so many laws. And that's one of the reasons why the priest, for example, coming across the man who has nothing. He doesn't even have a name, the fellow who fell into the hands of the brigands. He has nothing, and what he has been taken from him. So we have this anonymous person. You know all the anonymous people in your world. You probably pass them as you go into the shopping mall, as they sit there on a pillow in the cold weather asking for a handout. All these anonymous people still exist. So I see, not do I understand, or what do I do? So we ask ourselves the question, who is the Samaritan? Who are the Samaritans in my world? Who are the people that are ostracised? Who are those that are nameless, not just homeless, but the nameless, those that have nothing? Who are they? Who are the people that I keep ostracising because I don't agree with them? Who are the people that I keep shunning? If you can start to answer those questions in your life now, you will get very close to the intimacy, the tragic intimacy of this story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So you've got the priest who offers the ritual. Now he knows that this man is half dead and he doesn't know who he is, and he knows also that if he goes over to help him, he therefore he's going to have to return back to Jerusalem and be purified again, because the guy could be dead and he can't go within 2 metres of a dead person because that makes him unclean. That's how the rules were. Whereas we, priests today, spend nearly all of our time, it seems at times, more with the dead than we do with the living. And please don't be offended, I love being with you here tonight. But these laws were so restrictive. And then you had the Levite who came along, and he did the same thing. He moved to the other side. The Levite, the guy who prepares the sacrifices, he had the tools to help this man, because he's a Levite and he has to carry with him water and wine to prepare the sacrifice in the sanctuary for the priest to offer. But he doesn't do that. He has the tools, but he doesn't have the heart to do it. And so it is a Samaritan who comes along, this despised, almost foreigner, into obviously Jewish territory, heading down to Jericho. So the Samaritan doesn't get none. He is so despised that when it comes to the end of this parable story, when Jesus asks him yet another question, so which of the three did the right thing? This man, this lawyer, could not even say, oh, the Samaritan, whom Jesus named, didn't give him a name, but called him the Samaritan. But this fellow could not even say, oh, the Samaritan. No, that's how much he hated him. He still kept him at a distance. All he said was the one who cared for him, which is a correct answer, but it's not the right answer. He was hearing, but he wasn't doing. He was letting the law bind him up when he should have been free and operate from the law of the heart. And we're told in the first reading from Deuteronomy, which the lawyer would have known so well, and then in Leviticus, he will have known those backwards, that this law is inscribed in your heart. It's not in the heavens, we're told. It's not across the seas. It is written in your heart. It is in your mouth. Yet they couldn't apply it. And so it was the foreigner who went with the movement of his heart, the law of his heart, which is, I don't see a Jew, I don't see a male, I don't see a female, I don't see a young person or an old person, I don't see a disabled person or a fully abled person, I simply see a person who needs help. The Samaritan, the foreigner, actually does. The others do not. They do not let themselves be free in the law. They are more comfortable, feeling safer, being bound up by the law. So when it comes to religious laws, there are times when we have to move our way through by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, trusting that what the law in my heart says is the right thing. It is the right and good thing to do, because this person who has nothing needs something. I have something I need to share with this person. That is what doing is, and that's what we highlight on this particular weekend. There are so many things in the world that need our attention. There are so many people that need our compassion and our mercy and our forgiveness that it can be overwhelming. And we start to think to ourselves sometimes, well, what's the point? My little bit's not going to make any difference. It may not make much of a difference to you, but it'll make a hell of a difference, excuse the pun, for the individual who suffers. Anything in goodness and love and mercy is better than nothing. Understanding is one thing, but we get our eternal life when we start to do.